Welcome to the program, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation here on KXNT AM 840. Happy Sunday. So everyone is masking up. Nevada, for those of you out of state, now mandates masks be worn. But don't worry. There's a number of exemptions. I don't know if you know this. There are a number of exemptions to the rule. And one of them, I think, is probably my all-time favorite. And that... Yet the homeless are exempt. And the way it reads in the executive order given to us by the illustrious Steve Sisolak, the homeless are to practice social distancing. And this brings me actually to one of my favorite points that I like to bring up when people argue about COVID with me. And that is, you know, If this disease is as contagious and as deadly as MSNBC is making it out to be, then we would have that channel, CNN, basically all of the news media in downtown LA on Skid Row showing stacks of bodies back in March and April. They're exempting the homeless. It is the most vulnerable, one of the most vulnerable groups, most susceptible groups. The homeless are exempt, of course, because we are woke. You can't force the homeless to do anything. And by the way, you don't want to empower the police, of course, to have any further excuse to harass and bully the homeless. So there it is. So there, I guess what you need to do, if somebody tells you to put a mask on, tell them you're homeless. Matter of fact, you know, my wife has those jeans that cost an ungodly sum of money. They're rips, you know, torn. I come home yesterday and I'm looking at her and half her pants are missing. How much did that cost me? I don't know. But point is, she doesn't have to wear a mask. I have another vignette to share with you on this point. I was sitting at a cafe outdoors, socially distancing, wearing my mask like an ascot around my neck, you know, because I was eating. That's another exemption. So if you're eating, you're actively engaged in the consumption of food and or drink. You don't have to wear your mask. So I'm out there and I watched. There's a man and a woman, probably kind of middle-aged with a son, who was about 15 years old. And the son looked like he, you know, he's in sports. He's an athletic, good-looking kid. And the parents, they all, just a picture of normalcy. And I look at them, and they're where everybody's fine. And all of a sudden, one of them jumps up. And then the other one jumps up, and they start running around like crazy people. And I look over, and there's some kind of a moth. I mean, it's not a hornet. It's not an Asian killer hornet. It's not even a bee. It's like a big moth. And they are running around this table like crazy people. And I'm sitting there with an acquaintance, and I say, see, that's why everyone is losing their minds over this coronavirus. It's people like that. I keep coming back to the same thing. Here in Nevada, the virus came to us early. We know this because of how it was spreading around the world and because we are the world's petri dish. Everyone comes here. They come here to play. They come here to have fun. They come here absolutely to do risky things, dangerous behavior. It's Sin City. The virus, we know, was on the loose in December. What did we have happen here in Las Vegas, in this country? What did we have since then? We had Christmas, New Year's, Chinese New Year. Now we're already in January. We had SEMA, a major conference. We had CES, which is probably the biggest trade show of any kind in the world. We had all this stuff happen. People were hacking and coughing at one another. Well, they're certainly doing it in the casinos. They're doing it in restaurants. They're doing it in bars. My place was getting, CES, my place was, my place where I live now was getting renovated, and I was hoteling it for a short while. And yeah, and you couldn't get a room that week. And rooms that normally cost, I don't know, $200 were $800, $900, $1,000 a night. That is how crowded it was here. And if you live here in Vegas and you're within, you know, a stone's throw of the Strip, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And at the end of all of that, we had a very aggressive shutdown, right? We closed all the casinos. We closed restaurants. We closed bars. We closed the Williams-Sonoma, for Pete's sake. I mean, what is it, two, three people there at any given time? Don't even get me started. So, and then we waited. Now, I'm getting to this. This is very important. We waited. We waited to see what the cost would be. What would be the human cost of this? What, 483? By the time we got to the end of the shutdown, almost 3 months later, 483. We're a state of three plus million people. Southern Nevada, 2+ million. And of those 400 odd people that unfortunately passed away, I mean, breaking it down, once you look at the age groups and you look at nursing home deaths, 99.99 people that get this thing get out of it. They survive it. And everything in life is a trade-off. This is a very, very important thing. And this is where a lot of conservatives and liberals, this is a like different wiring in our brains. Because when I talk to my wonderful friends that I love that are on the other side of the aisle from me, they don't understand that there's a balance. It's always fantasy land for them. Economics is fantasy land. Give money to everybody. Raise taxes 90%. Free education, free health care. It all sounds good. It feels good. It tugs at the heartstrings. It makes sense to people on an emotional level. The problem is it doesn't freaking add up. In their world, 1+1=10. Or better yet, 10+10=1. It's fiction. And the fiction that we are being sold here is that we need to do everything possible to save every life. And it comes, this is rooted in a terrible condition, a human condition that we have, is that we want to feel power over this universe. Friends, we are a speck. We are a speck. We are insignificant dust in this solar system, let alone in this universe. Viruses will tear through our population. They will kill. You know, I want to create a Venn diagram. I want to do this statistically, so I hesitate to jump ahead of myself here. But I want to see what kind of overlap there is between people that think we should wear masks to bed and those people, meaning masks all the time, that is the answer. Mask, mask, mask. And an overlap between them and people who think that cow farts are raising temperatures in this planet. Let me get into some specific statistics when we come back. And actually, I'll give you a couple of reasons why these numbers are going up that should probably lower your concern quite a bit. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on AM 840 KXNT, back right after this. So you got hurt in an accident and now are wondering, do I call a lawyer and which one?
And it's Vegas, so there's some interesting choices.
The lawyer you hire says a lot about you and your case. If you think a lawyer looks goofy, chances are the insurance company does too.
At Sam & Ash, we're focused on your recovery, not on being the biggest celebrity characters in town.
Call us anytime at 702-820-1234. 820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right. Yes, it's Sam Rogowski here, AM 840 KXNT, and this is Sam Nation. Always right, rarely wrong. Happy Sunday, guys. All right, so these numbers are going up, and the fear 24/7 being pushed by the media. Let's talk about it. So here's the truth. The virus is spreading because this is what viruses do. The cost of preventing the spread, aka shutting our economy down, far and away creates damage that exceeds the risk to our health, the risk to human life. And let me explain one of the reasons here that these numbers are rising acutely. One is, or they seem to be at least, rising acutely. The number one thing that's going on here is we have contact tracing like we've never had before. And when you do contact tracing, do you know what this is? This is where, you know, somebody, you get sick, okay? You get a fever. And right now, if somebody has a pain in their knee, they think they've got COVID, right? So you go and you get tested. And lo and behold, your test comes back positive. So what, and contact tracing is very effective at weeding out and attacking these things because it's spread, because you go back and you find everybody that you've had any meaningful interaction with and you test them. And then those that test positive, you test the others that they've had contact with. You get what I'm saying? It's kind of like a family tree of infection. Now, how is this a problem? Well, it's not a problem. It's a good thing, right? But you're testing, you're doing a lot more testing on a sample size that is more likely to test positive. Does that make sense? You're testing people who you know, you have knowledge of having been actually exposed to the virus. You're going to get a different positivity rate from that sample than you are from testing the general population. Now, give you another example here. And I think this one actually, and I can attest to this as a business owner, this goes on. So companies right now, all the casinos, right, are testing, temperature testing their employees at the start of every shift. They have to. It's part of the deal. It's what the Gaming Commission has asked them to do, and they're complying. So now there's one particular business, I'm not going to name which one it is, released some of its figures. And on its face, they released this to scare us. But I want to explain how statistics can also lie, and I'm going to break it down for you. So the actual numbers here, I'm leaving the company name off. But they temperature scan 956 people that walk through the door. This is, by the way, a one-month time period. And they're, those are not 950. Some of those are repeat scans, right? But basically, those are 956 total people that in a 1 month period got scanned, presumably at least once, many of them multiple times a week. Now, of those, a certain number had an elevated temperature, right? And the ones that had an elevated temperature automatically got tested. And that number is 103. So we had 956 people scanned. And then 103 of those ended up getting a COVID test because they failed their temperature scan. Their temperature was elevated. Does this make sense so far? Okay. because this is math. This is really important. So what's 103? We'll call that, well, just for round numbers, it's roughly 10%, right? 956, we'll round that up to 1,000. 100 people or so were tested. 1 in 10 were tested. Now, of those 103, guess how many positives there were? 19. But here's how now it's being reported. The positivity test, the number of positive is being reported as 18.4%. Why? Because they've tested 103 people, 19 came back positive. But that's not exactly right. What's the actual sample? The actual sample is close to 1,000 people that are walking through the door that in that given month are getting scanned, screened, if you will. So what's the actual positive? 1.9, 2%, rounding it up. And you tell me, the number that the media runs with is the bigger number, the scarier number. But in statistics, in this type of testing environment, always matters on your sample. You're going to say, well, Sam, that doesn't matter because these are people that are presenting with symptoms and that's how it's always been. And so it's relevant. No, because we're doing a lot more testing right now. We're doing a lot more, and I'm going to add something else to it. We're doing a lot more screening right now than we've ever done. And that screening is expanding, right, is expanding the net, which is a good thing. All of this is good news. Number one, we want this virus to run its course. Keeping everybody closed up and protected from it is not the long-term solution. It's not. By and large, people who get this thing are fine. We hear about these positive tests, right? We hear about people testing positive. Oh, so-and-so, coronavirus. And you know what? What you don't hear from the media is 2 weeks later when they're out of quarantine, they're fine. They never went to the hospital. They never had any significant symptoms. They had a, and it worked their way through it. Now, Clark County, which is where Las Vegas is located, Clark County's not very transparent on their figures. But I was looking today at Orange County where my parents live. I used to live in Irvine, which is in kind of the heart of Orange County. And I like looking at their figures. So they're very transparent, a lot more transparent about their numbers. And since the beginning of this, deaths, 75% of deaths in Orange County were 55 and up. And it almost goes in quartiles. Then 65 and up is 50% of the deaths. And I think if you go up through the age, I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's, and then something like 37% of the deaths are 75 and up. And yet the bulk of the cases are among the young. And by that, I mean 20 to 40. That's where the bulk of the cases are, over 50%. So the way to tackle this is if you've got asthma, If you're an older person, if you have any comorbidities, issues, health problems, you wear a mask if you go out, limit your contact, don't go to parties, don't go out to crowded bars, don't do any of that. But if you're young in Orange County, there's not a single death of anyone 17 or younger. No, we've closed all the schools and my son's friends can't do water polo and they can't, all sports have been, outdoor activities are canceled. It's canceled. It's incredible. We've gone about this entirely the wrong way. And this mask, let me tell you about this mask. Does it help? Probably. Wrapping a piece of cloth over your face is I'm sure. But is it the end all be all? I told you last week, watch the guy leaving the bathroom, wearing his mask in an office building here in town. He doesn't wash his hands. What is that about? All right, you're listening to Sam Rogowski here on KXNT AM 840, and this is Sam Nation. I tell you, we've lost our minds. We're not thinking and looking at things in a rational way. By the way, I'm stuttering my way through this. I'll tell you, the way we looked at this all the way back in March. So where are we now? We're at the end of June. So going back a few months, it was very different. We didn't know how these statistics would pan out. And people are saying, well, there's 40,000 more new cases and this and that and the other. One thing that we haven't done, and no state has done a good job of this, is to separate out deaths because of COVID and with COVID, from with COVID. And what's the difference? We are not separating out deaths that are caused by COVID-19 from the deaths where somebody dies and they happen to have COVID-19. Statistically, we're putting them in the same pot. It's crazy. And it matters. So I will be following the story. And, you know, I suppose what happens if you don't wear a mask? People are asking that. So what happens right now? The Clark County sheriffs and Henderson police, they're going around and basically telling people to wear a mask. And but I'm telling the mask now has become the symbol of obedience. And this is why you'll see so many people on social media crowing about how you have to wear a mask, wear them and all caps. You know, that's how you know that they really are serious about what they're saying. And I know it's funny. I mean, it's fun. And because if to them, it's this literal physical manifestation of their obedience to the state. They love this. They love that kind of obedience. All right. Speaking of dangerous stuff, there's a funny story out of Pakistan, in case you missed it, having to do with air travel. I'm kind of a nervous flyer. If you are, you're going to like the story, and you're also probably not ever going to fly on a Pakistani airliner. Sam Rzhovsky back after this. Don't go anywhere. And this is Sam Nation on AM 840 KXNT.
You got hurt in an accident. You hired a lawyer. Now they're ignoring you.
Don't wait on your no-call, no-show lawyer.
We're Sam and Ash. Upgrade to us today.
We listen to you and are here for you.
And we will always return your calls.
But you do have to call us first. Do it now. Don't delay.
We're available day or night, 702-820-1234. 820-1234. Or visit samandash.com.
Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Sam Rzhovsky here on News Talk AM 840. This is Sam Nation, and I am Nevada's favorite recovering Californian here for your listening pleasure. Pakistan has discovered that one third of its pilots, they have 860 pilots licensed to operate airplanes, commercial airplanes in Pakistan, one third of them are flying with a fake license or a license where they paid somebody else to take the test. They figured this out apparently after a plane crash killing, I don't know, what was it? How many people were? 97 people on board. This plane crash took place in Lahore. They crashed in Karachi, excuse me. They don't really know if the pilots flying that plane were legitimate or not. But this is just further news of why it's dangerous to fly in the Middle East. Let me tell you, I know we should play a bit of this interview at some point. So little time and so much to go over. But we had a guest here some months ago who is a pilot here in the States. But one of the most interesting things that Jim has done is he's trained pilots in Egypt. And he spent a long time living on a rotation in Egypt, working for a very wealthy, well-known individual as his chief pilot. And he worked with a number of Egyptian-trained pilots. And one thing he said, I got to be careful here. I'm going to step delicately because people are getting very offended over any gross generalization about any minority group. But here goes. The problem with Middle Eastern pilots is the fatalism of Islam. Meaning, Jim would always say that these pilots, he would explain to them, okay, so the temperature outside is 95 degrees. The plane weighs this much. The runway is this long. Here is literally how fast and how steep you have to climb in order to clear those mountains. And their answer would be, inshallah, meaning God willing, which is a popular thinking among more Orthodox Muslims. That's in God's hands. And he'd always say, no, wait a minute. It's not God, it's science. It's math. You're either going to hit the mountain or you're not. So if you combine the fatalism of some people in the Middle East with the fact that they're not even licensed and they cheated their way through the exam or paid somebody to take the exam for them and have literally no flying experience, I might suggest that that you stay clear of that region of the world. At any rate, I will add one thing is that the black box, you know, they dig out the black box from the rubble of the crash. And on the black box, they have a number of things, data about the flight and whatnot. But they also have the cockpit recording. They have the pilots speaking, talking to one another, and they look at that to gauge what they were saying. Also, if there are any distractions. And apparently these two pilots were talking about the coronavirus at the time of the crash. So according to DailyMail.uk, they were talking about the coronavirus. So I would like to just officially place these poor 97 souls that were lost in this crash and say that they were because of COVID. We'll just add them to the COVID deaths. You might as well. Might as well. Everybody's included. Okay. Let's talk about the election. I cannot believe that Trump might be able to actually lose this thing. If somebody asked me 6 months ago what I think about the election, I mean, I tell you, Trump had this thing in the bag. This election, guys, this was Trump's to lose. And he's actually giving it a pretty good solid try. Now, one thing I will say is just because Trump seems to be a little bit lost right now, saying stupid things, tone deaf to the situation, not addressing things that matter to his base, et cetera, et cetera. You still cannot underestimate the stupidity of the Biden camp. I saw an ad that some of my Democratic friends are passing it around the interwebs and think this ad is fantastic. And the gist of the ad is it talks about presidents needing to have uplifting words, that presidents historically have been ones to inspire. And it has Reagan talking, I think, at the Brandenburg Gate. And it has George Bush, and it has Obama and Clinton. And they are all saying beautiful things. I love how they now like George W. Bush, by the way. I love that. Now the media likes him. Okay. So they have all these, and I go, oh, and I'm watching this, and literally my heart is sinking, because what are they going to put up? I know you might like Trump, but hear me out. The man has said a lot of things taken out of context. They can certainly be terrible. And what do they put up? They don't put him, you know, mocking Gold Star families or, you know, making jokes or whatever. They have him talking about law and order. They have him talking in a very stern, maybe a little bit Franco-esque type of way about going after protesters and sending out the military and the force. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, this is an ad for Trump for suburban women. Right now, this ad, wherever it's playing, is the 1,000 housewives who are watching this ad are going, yeah, you know what? I wish Trump were to send out the military, because they all heard the recording. Did you hear the recording of, I forget which town it was, but there was a woman in the car with her young daughter, gets attacked by one of these BLM mobs, and they're jumping on her car, and she calls 911. And the 911 operator, I'm summarizing her, basically tells, we're not sending anybody out. This is a complaint for City Hall. City Hall has told us to stand down. The way Trump can win this election, and I certainly hope somebody is telling him this, the way he wins this election is he restores our faith in the compact. And here's the compact. Here's the deal as we all understand it. We pay taxes that we don't want to pay. We put on masks that we don't want to put on. We don't jaywalk, even though it's really the best way to cross the street. Unless somebody hits you. We follow the rules. We wait in line. We come here, like my parents did, legally. And the deal is that the government treats all of us the same. The government, for all of our compliance and obedience, turns around and treats us all the same way and treats the people that would do us harm, treats the people who skip in line, treats the people that take advantage harshly. Because that's the deal. If I'm paying, giving up in some states, places, 50% of my income to the government, and then I call 911, I expect the police to show up. And when they don't, social order begins to break apart. Enough is enough. It was cute, the whole CHOP thing. Capitol Hill Autonomous, excuse me, CHAZ? What are they calling it? CHOP or CHAZ now? Well, the Autonomous Zone in Seattle. The lawless four square blocks. That place. It was funny for a while. It still is funny. But guess what? Not to the business owners and the, I would say normal, but just regular people that live there. And the main thing is that is an inspiration to other acts of disobedience and lawlessness that we cannot tolerate. Because if we tolerate it, our society falls apart. And the problem right now is that people are too afraid to say this. Well, I'm not. I'm a lawyer. I fought for a lot of things that are unpopular, that were important causes for people. It's what I do. And I am done being quiet about this. This BLM thing is dangerous. Of course, Black Lives Matter. Every life is valuable. This is absurd. But as a political movement, one that celebrates notorious Marxist cop killing Asada Shakur, give me a freaking break, people. These are not good guys. And I'm watching all these, you know, cute celebrities on their Instagrams adopting BLM, turning it into something it's never been historically, some kind of pop culture, you know, look at me, I'm woke thing. The heart and soul of this movement is Marxist, communist, anti-capitalist, anti-American, anti-cop, anti-law and order. It is a revolution. And I see so many people just stupidly and blithely signing on to this. Now, I want to talk about that here. We're getting really offended about everything. Can't talk about certain things. I just saw you're following this Tina Fey thing. Tina Fey may get canceled because of something that she did on 30 Rock or whatever it was. Yeah, like here, you know what the standard is, friends? The standard is that if it wasn't wildly offensive and didn't draw condemnation 10 years ago, then you can't go after the person 10 years later. You got to judge things relative to the era that they were in and the time that they were in. And everything except for murder pretty much has statute of limitations in the law. So, you know, we let sleeping dogs lie on this. Yeah, there's other examples. You hear about, what was it? Oh, yeah, The Office. I'll tell you about that when we come back. And also about getting offended. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network here on AM 840 KXNT. So you got hurt in an accident and don't want to hire a lawyer.
And that's exactly what the insurance company wants.
They don't want you represented by Sam and Ash. They'd rather you hire a bad lawyer or no lawyer at all.
That's because insurance companies work hard to pay you as little as possible and hope you don't fight back.
Call us day or night at 702-820-1234.
820-1234. Or visit samandash.com.
Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Sam Rojofsky, and this is Sam Nation News Talk, AM 840 KXNT. Karen Free Zone here, live and in the studio here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let me talk about a fence here for a minute. A lot of people getting offended. Well, you know, by the whole Hey Reb statue, I talked about this last week a little bit. Hey Reb is the mascot at UNLV. He's a funny old guy with a big mustache. UNLV, they're the running rebels. And apparently, some people are not happy about the fact that it has some Confederate Civil War era overtones. And the entire discussion, right, on in the media, I've heard it play out on radio and on TV and read agonizing articles and opinion pieces about this here in Las Vegas. But this whole debate, this by the way, was taking place elsewhere regarding other topics. It's just here it happens to be a microcosm of what's going on in the world right now. And every one of those articles that I've read and every one of these pieces takes this apart. They always, what do they get at? They're always citing what? Somebody who is offended. So the article has, you know, an argument for, hey, this is tradition. We've been the running rebels since whenever. We've won championships as the running rebels. Let's just, you know, come on. What are we doing? But then we spoke to student so-and-so, and they are very hurt. And it's seeing this statue of a man with a big mustache is traumatizing to them. You know, I thought about this. I had to actually think about it. So I said, okay, let me put myself into the mind of this person. And some of you may know this, but my family came from Czechoslovakia, which had been brutally taken over by the communists in 1948. And that is after a bruising occupation, devastating occupation by Nazi Germany that ended in 1945. And so the communists took over 48 and were remained in power for over 40 years. And in that time, I got to tell you, it was not good for my family and for many of our family friends. People were murdered, executed. People were sent to labor camps. People were sent to work in uranium mines with almost no protective equipment. They were beaten, harassed, followed. Their children were prevented from studying at universities. They were treated as, forget second-class citizens, they were treated like dogs. And here I am. This is not a distant history. This is recent, guys. This happened, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. It's happened to my grandparents. My father grew up in this. My mother as well. You think I get triggered by seeing a statue of Karl Marx? You think I was raised to literally lose my mind when AOC gets up and extols the virtues of the Bolshevik Revolution or Bernie Sanders? Getting offended is a choice. Letting someone's words affect you is a choice. It's your choice. You control it. I'm looking at these videos on the internet of, I guess, people of color beating up on people that are white, because presumably some videos show it, some don't. A racial slur being uttered. should never use racial slurs. You should be kind to people. But guess what? The world is filled with terrible human beings. The world is filled with hateful people. The world is not a hateful place. We are not a hateful country. We are not an inherently racist country. I'm going to fight back on that. But there are plenty of bad people out there. But the only way we become a better society, a more improved society, is if we learn to lock it up. We learn to talk about things. I would never advocate for the destroying a statue of Marx. If we've got a nice statue of Marx, I want to take my kids by it, point to it, and say, let me tell you about this A money money hole and what he did to the 20th century. Fortunately, it's some people are still following it now. That's just my take on it. I think it's something that we control. So I have one other bit of thing I want to go over. This is practical advice. This is some Sam Nation pro tip for you. Do you have a DVD player? I know everything is streaming now. Everything is streaming. But do you have a DVD player? Or Blu-ray, if you want high def. Get a Blu-ray player and go on the internet and start buying up TV shows and movies. Number one, you're definitely going to want a nice, clean version. You know, no scratches on the disc, right? Nice, clean Blu-ray DVD of Blazing Saddles. If you haven't seen it, you don't know what comedy is. That Blazing Saddles is about 10 seconds away from getting erased off any streaming platform. It makes fun of everyone, but it's going to get erased. I saw that The Office, there's an episode. Which one is this? There's an episode of a Christmas special with Dwight, or a Thanksgiving special. Hold on. I have it here somewhere. Well, regardless, that episode just got edited and redistributed. Basically, all the places where you can stream The Office now has an edited episode. They are going through and eradicating history. Gone with the Wind was removed from HBO. For Pete's sake. I think Mad Men, my partner, Ashley, she is watching Mad Men. She's totally engrossed by Mad Men. She's loving it. I would suggest very much you get a full set of Mad Men. Seinfeld. Guys, Seinfeld is going to be gone before we know it. Again, buy the DVD set. This is really important. It's all going to go up in smoke. I'm watching, I think I mentioned The Sopranos. Finally, what is it, 20 years later, I decided to get into The Sopranos. I'm in season 5. It's like a race against the clock. Because in season 1, maybe season 2, I mean, there's some overt racism on that show. But I am, in general, I think things have historical value. I think media from a certain era has a historical value. What are we supposed to do? Purge Nazi propaganda movies so we can't see what Nazi propaganda was? I mean, you want to go all the way to an extreme? Isn't it important to see how wrong? If you think something's wrong, isn't it important to see how wrong it was? It's always the totalitarian regimes, the out-of-control revolutions, the purges that erase history. It never ends well. And as long as I'm doing this program, I'm going to fight against it. All right, like that, the fastest hour of radio has evaporated into thin air. Huh. I know. I'm going to sum up the previous part. All Trump needs to do is get to law and order. If he pushes law and order, he wins this thing. Biden's position right now, full in, is to be in his bunker and to be full BLM point man. So all Trump has to do is be the opposite of that. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, catch me on Twitter at What's Right Sam. And we will be back next week with a 4th of July show. I'm looking forward to doing that, celebrating the greatness that is this country. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation on News Talk AM 840 KXNT.